get the ball rolling a little bit. What's going on, Dwayne?
Yeah, not much. Yeah, sorry about that. I've never actually used the space before. I don't even use the app on my phone.
Right. I'm like, yeah. I've just been listening the whole time. Oh, you were listening? Yeah. No, that's good, definitely. Let's get it started. I mean, Dwayne, let's introduce yourself to the audience. Why not?
All right. Dwayne Wong Omwale. I'm a Pan-African activist, scholar that published several books on the history of African people, both on the continent and the diaspora.
Absolute. And for those who don't know, my name is Marok, owner of Marok Auras. Host a podcast, Straight Facts. I do have a master's in psychology as well. So, yeah, we just want to get this started. Dwayne.
Let's go, nigga.
Okay, yes. Man. Dwayne is well published, and so am I. So, you know, we got some credentials here. What's going on
here? And I'm Trey.
And that's my co-host Trey as well. That's in the building.
All right.
Let's just start off from the beginning, right? Let's just go to not the beginning. I want to at least address what you talk about the most, which is the arrival of these Spaniards that came to America in 1492. Right?
Yeah.
After the exile of the Moors. You want to speak on some of that history?
I didn't think this was going to be relevant to the debate, but there's really not much to speak on here. I mean, you said it yourself, after the Moors were exiled, Spanish came to the Americas and really kicked off the whole process of European colonialism.
Well, I think it's relevant only because of the very fact that it's relevant for me. So in 1492, the same year they exiled the Moors from Spain, they used the intellectual property and the of the Moors, and they used their boats and everything else to travel over to the Americas, including a well-documented one named Alfonso Pedro Nino, over to the Americas to help him navigate over to America. So this expedition was important because of the very fact that in Columbus's own journal and reporting of the Americas, he was able to get translation that said that the natives said that they have gotten spears from the south and the southeast.
Can I cut you off right there?
Yep, you sure can.
Okay, that actually wasn't in Columbus's journal. That was in Bartolomeo de las Casas. And that's one of the reasons why I've been so critical of Van Sertima, because a lot of people who listen to his lectures and read his books don't realize that he actually got that wrong. If you check Columbus's journals, you won't find that in there. That wasn't in Columbus's journal.
So the very fact that it is repeated and codified throughout scholarship makes all the difference here, doesn't it?
I mean, what's repeated and codified by scholarship?
That very sentiment that it was translated that they had gotten those spears from Africans from the south and the southeast is all okay. Throughout.
Have you read Bartolomeo de las Casas's journal? Because he didn't say anything about Africa writing about the spears.
So you
have to go to the primary
scholar.
What's that?
So the primary source would be the fact that scholars are repeating.
Scholars are not a primary source. The primary source is Bartolomeo de las Casas. And if you read his journal,
I didn't say that. What I said was that the very fact that scholars are repeating it makes the entire point.
Which scholar? Van Sertima?
So we're talking about Harvard has repeated.
Harvard is not a scholar. Which scholar? Harvard is not a scholar.
I said Harvard with Leo Wiener.
Okay.
Have repeated it as well. You can be found all throughout JSTOR as well. I can post some.
But none of those are primary sources. I'm giving you the primary source, so you have to go to the primary source. If you go to the primary source, you'll find Bartolomeo de las Casas said nothing about African spears. That's something that was
A bunch of scholars just going around lying for what purpose? To repeat it over and over.
Scholars do it all the time. That's why I'm asking you which scholar. You know, for a fact, scholars have different agendas and scholars do twist information, which is why primary sources are so important. And in this situation, the primary source is what I'm giving you. Bartolomeo de las Casas. You could check the journal. Okay, it doesn't say anything but African spears.
Okay, well, that's fine. I'm going to go ahead and look into him. So we can do that as a primary source. The very fact that it's being vetted over and over again, though, I don't see how that's really making your point here.
Vetted by whom, though? See, the thing is, you keep going back to these scholars. I'm trying to get to a conversation about primary sources. And to me, that's usually the issue, these type of conversations, that you're debating from the standpoint of using secondary sources and scholars. My work is based on primary sources. Primary sources being the actual Europeans who wrote these things in the journals. And I mean, as I said, the fact that you're relying on these secondary sources is why you even got the information wrong. Because if you go and actually read Columbus's journal, Columbus doesn't say anything about those spears.
Well, it's been already repeated through Oxford as well.
That's a fallacy, though. It doesn't matter if Oxford could repeat it and it's still wrong. That's why you have to go to the primary source.
Post it because. Yeah. Yeah,
but I highly doubt that you would make an argument there and for that to be the main source of purpose for everybody to be completely wrong on that particular topic when everybody's betting.
Who's everybody? You know, you keep using these vague terms like scholars and everybody.
So again, you know how dissertations work, don't you, Dwayne?
I do. I also know, do you know how primary sources work? And you are aware of the fact that simply because a dissertation is published doesn't mean everything in a dissertation is factually correct.
Right, but when it's repeated and everybody's finding the same
evidence. But you keep saying everybody. You're pretending as if and certain.
People who are publishing.
Yeah, people who publish have published criticisms of Vansertum as well. So you can't hide behind the fact that this information is published.
Let's get to Vansertum. Who the hell, who is really debunking
Vansertum? You've never read a criticism of Vansertum?
Who?
Vansertum himself. He, in early America Revisited, that whole book was a response to his critics.
Who's the critics?
I don't have the names on hand, but I'm directing you to his book where he was responding to his critics, so you can go read for yourself what Vansertum has said to his critics. But the fact is,
I don't know how his work would be discredited if it is literally been repeated and documented within the Sage Article Encyclopedia of America. So how much of a damn quack could he be?
Gotcha. Now, my thing is, you know, before I go all out and supporting the theory, for a long time, I was opposed to the Olmec theory when I was on Egypt Search with Ashton for years until about 2013. I just really scuffed over it. And, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, whatever. But, you know, as I started seeing white people just feverishly deny the Egyptians were black, I said, what the fuck else are they lying about? So, I started doing my digging, and I do it the Egypt Search way. They're very critical of anything you say on there. You can't just go in there and say anything. Ask Ashton in the chat. You know, you can't just go in there and say anything. But, you know, you got people who've been making this argument. You know, they got Cloud Winners. Now, I know people got their hang-ups on him and whatnot. But, you know, one of the things that really, really stuck with me as far as tangible biological evidence was the finding of sickle cell in the ancient Mayans. And I put the study in the Jumbotron. That should be a direct source. So you can, you know, check that out. But this was something noted by Abin Vansertum. But, you know, further research on sickle cell, this is why it's some damning evidence, people who say it's not, you know. Anyway, so in the third slide from the left, third slide from the left, I posted a an excerpt from a study from 2018, either 2018 or 2020, about the Green Saharan origins of sickle cell. And of course, you know, the early Holocene, that's the Green Sahara between 10 and 6,000 BC. And during this period, you know, you see a co-mingling of different Africans. You see a co-mingling of people who are no longer in Africa to even have the mutation in the first place. But what this study does is it pinpoints the origin, the single origin, because you have different haplotypes. You have Benin, you have Bantu, you have Senegalese haplotypes of sickle cell. But despite those different haplotypes, you have one common ancestor. And that ancestor is not 10,000 years old. It's only about 7,000 years old. It goes back to 5,000 BC. Now, you know, that's interesting, of course, because we know that, you know, pre-dynastic Egyptian mummies, you know, in Upper Egypt, you know, were found to have been in sickle cell, which, you know, I make the argument that, you know, Niger-Congo speakers were in that part of Africa at the time. But with that being said, you know, sickle cell is associated with the Niger-Congo family. It's associated with people carrying for the most part, E1B1A, and you also see a contingency of it in India, which, you know, I argue that they too have a recent African origin. I don't know. I mean, people won't go with that, but I stand with it. But as far as the Mayans are concerned, yeah, I posted the study in it says the first slide in Jumbotron, and yeah, the ancient Mayans were found to have sickle cell. Now, how do you know if a skeleton has sickle cell or not? Well, there are these lesions. Mm-hmm. There are these ghastly lesions that you find on the bones of people with sickle cell. And that was apparent in some of the Mayan samples. So with that, I think it's pretty cut and dry that there definitely was some African contact, and that's genetic evidence. Doing pre-colonial America. Will you say that, Dwayne?
Well, okay, so the thing is, my position has never actually been to deny that there was any contact whatsoever. And Van Thertum, actually, he mentions a European writer, Peter Martyr, who actually wrote that he believed that there were Africans who shipwrecked in the Americas. So my position has never been that there was absolutely no contact. It certainly is possible that Africans didn't make contact. My position is, most of the arguments that Van Sertuma makes are very flawed because, as I said, going back to primary sources, he doesn't rely on primary sources to make his arguments. So there's a lot of fallacies and flaws in his argument for that reason. And my other argument is that I think a lot of people overestimate or exaggerate the amount of Africans who already would have been in the Americas prior to the slave trade. And then what ends up happening is a lot of people start claiming that they're not descendants of enslaved Africans, they're descendants of Black people who are already in the Americas before slavery. And the fact is, again, when you check the primary sources, most Black people who were enslaved in the Americas didn't claim that they were indigenous. They recognized that they were people who either came from the African continent or descendants of people from the African continent. So it's never been my position that there wasn't any contact. I just think a lot of the arguments around the supposed contact are flawed, and I think there's a lot of exaggerations.
Well,
I got you.
Hold on, Trey, real quickly, because he did... I already knew reading his blogs that where he stood on his position. I already knew he said that the Black – that where he felt about the contact before the transatlantic slave trade was about us already being here as well. But to the very point of it is that who is really debunking and making real points of debunk for or against Van Sertuma?
Yeah, and I would also like to point out with Ivan Van Sertuma, there's a lot of confusion about what the hell he actually wrote, man. It's you know, and it is some people who are, you know, on the whole we don't have nothing to do with Africa tip or whatever, you know, but at the same time, you know, it's a lot of people who don't like him who they really get his argument real, real funky, man. They really do. And I'm gonna post it in Jumbotron again.
And some of the first people to even talk about it were a lot of Native people to South America. And I wanted to know who is debunking Van Sertuma? Who gave credence to that? Debunk.
What do you mean give credence?
But,
debunked Van Sertuma? Because I have plenty of people who actually give him credibility.
Yeah, but it sounds like you're trying to make an argument for authority, though. The issue isn't who gives credence or who debunks it. The issue should be the arguments that he made and whether or not they're valid and can be proven. It sounds like you're trying to make an authority argument there.
Well, the authority comes from because who is really going around and giving peer credibility to the debunk of Van Sertuma?
And that's my point, that it seems like you want to make an argument for authority. My position
would be the agenda otherwise.
Because my position on Van Sertuma is his arguments can't stand on their own. And the fact is you're not even defending the arguments. You're trying to make an authority.
No, this is just one point. First of all, Dwayne, that's to be clear, because I'm only playing with you right now. I'm really playing with you right now because I'm not even really going to the real grips.
So then stop playing. Stop wasting my time and get serious, then.
Okay, that's just serious because Black people
are indigenous. Where do you find me here to play?
Absolutely, because Black people are indigenous here into America, and you know how we know that? It's through every metric imaginable. So if you really wanted to get down to it, so you know, Harvard actually put out a study talking about the founding populations of America. And did you read that study that Harvard and CBI and a lot of other people had?
No, because like I said, I do my research based on primary sources. I don't know why you keep going to secondary sources like Harvard.
Right. There's no secondary sources here. People have already did.
You said Harvard. Harvard is not a primary source.
So if people, so you're basically negating academia and how it stands in standard to how we go about evidence. These are people going about evidence, right? Is that either correct or incorrect?
No, I saw it. You're really confused here, because how you do the evidence is based on a primary source. So you're giving me Harvard as a source.
Okay, and well, who says that it wasn't a primary source? That's the point.
Is Harvard a primary source?
Yes, when they repeat it, yes. Harvard, NCBI, all these.
Harvard is the primary source for with pre-Columbian America?
Yes, because they're studying genetics, they're doing biological measurement.
Do you understand what a primary source is?
Sir, how does academia work? How do dissertations work? Are people just going around repeating what? What are they repeating?
That's what I'm asking you, because
if they're doing the actual studies and repeating the actual evidence, what the hell is happening?
And what is the evidence? That's what I mean. I can't
hear what is happening. The fact that you don't have an opposition, it makes my entire point. Do you have an opposition? What's the primary opposition then?
Primary opposition to what? You're the one that came here wanting to debate me. So if anything, you were the opposition to what I wrote. So I'm trying to figure out what exactly is your issue with my articles.
I'm getting down to, were black people indigenous to America?
Yeah, my argument is no.
And post the opposition.
What's up about opposition?
What source are you speaking for that would even codify anything you would say that says you're not?
Black people themselves who wrote about their experiences in slavery.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
That's the primary source. So you're telling me you take Harvard's word over the black experience in America rather than black people who wrote slave narratives about their own situation and everything?
First of all, you're not black American. Let's get that clear.
That's why I'm not using myself as the primary source. I came here with primary sources, and apparently you came to...
You're not a black American. You don't know what we have in oral tradition.
Okay, so the thing is, you're not...
Furthermore, black Americans weren't really classifying themselves, and to be enumerated as Indian, there was a set of rules in place, such as Indians not taxed are to be enumerated, the families of Indians who have renounced tribal rule, who under state or territory laws exercise the rights of citizens are to be enumerated. Also, dependent on who you may live amongst, if you lived amongst blacks, you were likely to be classified black, or living amongst Indians or whites could change your classification. That is further codified by the actions of Walter Plecker, who was so concerned over black people in Virginia passing as white or Native American that he committed a paper genocide to classify everyone Negro along with the one drop rule. So that literally makes no sense in and of itself.
Yeah, but you're not a Central American then. So by that argument,
you shouldn't say Central American. I'm a black American.
Yeah, so the thing is, if you're not a Central American, why are you in a position?
This isn't just about Central America, though. This is about North America as well.
Hold on. Y'all put my 10-foot kufi on. The Mayans disappeared. The Mayans disappeared, just like a Hokie disappeared. They went up north to the southeast. That's the big secret.
So, I mean, and Trey, you are making a point here, but the very fact that he doesn't really have, he came here, and, you know, I did want to at least have an argument that led to this, but he just wanted to just shoot the shit and go straight for the jugular. I'll do that anyway. I don't really debate. So if you really have the sources to really combat the fact that there is an indigenous claim to black people in America, if you don't really have that argument here, you're really the one wasting time here. As a matter of fact, Yale just put out a...
Yale.
Yes, they did actually.
Go ahead, my rock.
Yale put out a publishing. I didn't even get to really go through it, but as far as there, it's called Unraveling Black Indigeneity in America. And that's just one as of recently. But go ahead, Trey. I'm going to post it in Tron.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a whole heap of shit that just really links. You know, particularly, you know, I'm more on the Now Valley diffusion argument. Perhaps some mandate within the last couple of hundred years, but I stick to them guns on that. When you see things in America like the croc and the flail, mm-hmm. Croc and the flail, you know, that's a central theme of Egyptian religion. There's only Egyptian religion as far as that's concerned. There's nothing similar. There's only people who carry the culture from being there. But when you see an Osirian croc in a flail on the structure in America. You know, that's kind of game over. When you see a an Ankh, a big stone Ankh, I should say, like the Egyptian cross. When you see that in the middle of Mexico, you gotta say game over.
It is game over. And what Trey's talking about is in reference to what I just posted up in the Tron right now. If you go into South America, there is Stella E and Stella D called the Quirigua statues. And if you look at I posted up in the Tron right now, the statues had the same false spear, crook, and flail as the ancient Egyptians. Now, is that just by chance? Or are they just imagining these things, Dwayne?
It very well be by chance, because see, again, this goes back to the problem of you don't have primary sources. So if I were to ask you which Egyptian dynasty was the one that failed to the Americas, you can
inconsequential.
You can that's my point. You can tell me because you don't have the primary sources. How is it inconsequential? If you ask a European which European nation, you know, was able to travel to the Americas, they'll tell you Spain. So why is it you can't bring to me a specific Egyptian dynasty that you claimed?
The very fact that Trey pointed out the Ankh, the crooked flail, false beard, pyramids, and everything else in cultural continuity and affinity, and the fact that you don't have an opposition to even bring credence to makes my entire point.
And you're making my point. You can answer a simple question. Which Egyptian dynasty was the dynasty that sailed to the Americas? You can't even answer that.
Inconsequential.
Because you can't answer, that's why.
Inconsequential.
Columbus failing to America is inconsequential?
No, you're trying to make an argument about is inconsequential. Go ahead, Drew.
No, I'm trying to make an argument proving that you don't even understand what you're talking about. You have no sources to back up any of the claims that
you don't have opposition at all. You came here unprepared.
I'm a proponent of the African origins of civilization. I mean, that's just what I am. Call me a black supremacist. I don't give a fuck. I believe that there are common cultural traits that can only really come from a central source. I don't believe in the notion of everybody all over the world in one given point in time coming up with the same shit. I do not believe in it. I think it's nonsense. I think when people do that, they're lying. They don't want to admit that people helped them. But with that being said, the central source of civilization is now Valley Civilization. When you see certain characteristic traits of that unique Horus worshiping religion of Kemet, that's what made Kemet what it was. It was the religion. It was the culture. It wasn't the sculptures. It was the culture, the people, the religion. That's what made Kemet separate from Nubia. Nubia was Ta Seti, the land of Set. Kemet worshiped Horus. It was almost like war, gang wars, religious. But Kemet's emblem, their gang sign, Kemet's gang sign was the croc and the flail. That's just what it is. There's no other people on earth who has that. Unless they admit to coming from Kemet. Now, what I argue is you see the croc and the flail throughout various societies in so-called sub-Saharan Africa today. And to me, that's a clear sign of diffusion when Kemet was invaded by invaders. And they took over the land and the people went south into Nubia and from Nubia, they went throughout sub-Saharan Africa. Now, I'm one to believe that they didn't just go to sub-Saharan Africa. I don't believe that. I believe that they had knowledge of land all across this earth. And when you see certain things like the pyramid in Mexico and this alignment with Orion, something that only the Kemites knew with their pyramids, when you see the stela that the Olmecs put up there showing their origins and you see at the bottom of it, You see the three pyramids of Egypt, the three great pyramids of Egypt. You see them aligned.
I put that in the Jumbotron as well. That's in the Jumbotron.
When you see stuff like that, you know, you can't wait for white people to say, yeah, that's what, they're never going to say that's what happened. They don't even want to admit Egypt was black. To this day, they won't admit that. On TV, they'll put it in books that nobody reads. But they won't put that shit on TV. Michael Jackson had to do that.
But you know what's so funny? The first few scholars who even found the Olmecs were the ones who were going around saying how Negroid they were. And those were some of the same native local archaeologists there. It wasn't nobody black or nor white.
And a few things about the findings of Ivan Van Sertima that, you know, nobody really talks about. When we talk about what he said, Ivan Van Sertima never, ever said the Olmec civilization was an African civilization, meaning the majority of the population was African. He never said that. Never, ever, ever did he say that. What he said was the 6-13% of Negroid skulls that were distinct from all the other skulls in the grave sites, they constituted a royal class, and they brought over knowledge from Nile Valley civilization, and that's what kicked off the Olmec civilization. Also, what you find with these skeletons, it's not just skeletons. Some people, you know, they ignore the fact that all of these skeletons are males, for one. Mm-hmm. All of the Negroid skeletons are males. Their women are of the native abstract, and their children are mixed breed abstract. Now, some people might say, well, you're confusing that with the Pygmies, because no, the fuck I'm not. The Pygmies were mixed in with those Mongoloids. That's why them damn Mexicans are so damn short today. When the Mongoloid wave came in and absorbed the Pygmies, they got into this little genetic mutation where they got short. They were short people. They were very, very short. Google the details of their height. That's why Mexicans and Guatemalans are midgets, because they come from that ancient Twa lineage that was there 10 plus thousand years ago. That Australoid Pygmy strain got mixed in with the Mongoloid population, and that's how you get the modern Mexican, along with some Spaniard blood. So we're not talking about them when we say the Negroid scale skeletons. We're talking about that 6-13% of the grave sites that Ivan Van Sertima noted that had distinctly Negroid skulls from that localized mixture of Pygmies and Mongoloid populations. Dumbasses like to pretend they don't understand that. It's 2 + 2. But, you know, that's what the contingency is. And some people have said, well, they genetically tested. No, the fuck they didn't. That study was recanted, for one. And two, the contention would be those skeletons. Everybody knows that Olmec civilization was generally of a modern, well, not modern, because they were darker, but of a somewhat Mongoloid, somewhat Negroid mixture. And I mean, Australoid Negroid, when I say that. Australoid, like pygmy type shit. But, you know, nobody really argues that, you know, the general population was African, you know, and that's something that some people really try to trip them up on. But the thing is, if y'all really want to test that theory, go to the skeletons that I can't say that guy's name. He's like a Polish physical anthropologist from back in the day, who Ivan Van Sertima cited. It begins with a W. I don't even try to say that nigga's name. But, you know, it was his data. That was the raw data right there. And in that, he identified, you know, they have their little goofy classifications of races, but he definitely identified a Negroid strain, and particularly that of the West African abstract. So that's my contingency. If y'all talking about DNA testing, that's what you need to test. Don't do a random sample. No. He said that those were Africans who came over there from a civilization and brought light to those people.
And to be very, skeletons. To be very short here, I'm just going to go off of what Trey said about the sickle cell. Through various study, I posted up in Jumbotron, we know that sickle cell is associated with renal dysfunction and kidney disease, like Trey pointed out, both of which have been found in ancient Maya to have been medically treated or found as a disorder, which shows a pattern to my conclusion with the higher probability affecting Black people. Why I say this, because of the fact that NCBI doubled down. It is currently unknown whether similar associations are observed in Hispanics, rare with Africans, than Black Americans, and Native Americans aren't even mentioned amongst the most common. So if we're talking about where the signs are leading to, it would be Black Americans. Dwayne, you probably didn't read that Harvard study said, but I will also say that Harvard study, I will read in verbatim about what they said as well. Here we analyze the genome-wide data show that the some Amazonian Native Americans descend partly from Native American family populations that carry ancestry more closely to the indigenous Australians, New Guineans, and the Andaman Islanders than the present-day Eurasians or Native Americans. This signature is not present to the same extent or at all to the present day Northern Central Americans or the 12,000 Clovis genome that people tend to suggest. So basically it's telling you right there that even in the first few founding populations, Native Americans weren't even present themselves.
Like, I'm not really clear how it makes Black Americans indigenous, though. And exactly. Again, that goes back to my point, though, that, you know, you're bringing me this Harvard study, and the sources I prepared were actual Black Americans who enslaved in the Americas who never claimed to be indigenous. Now, can you name a slave narrative written by someone who claimed to be a Black indigenous?
There's an oral history amongst us that claims that says that we are native here in the Americas.
So you don't have a slave narrative. Okay.
My Aunt Bessie.
Yes, a lot of our family. Yeah, a lot of our family tends to carry on that oral tradition. And I don't take our oral.
So you have a slave narrative then. Okay, got it.
Excuse me?
So what I'm hearing is you can't name a slave narrative. That's all I asked for, and I got my
Literally, so that's inconsequential. It's inconsequential, but go ahead, Trey.
Got you. So let me just kind of reiterate with it. Like, when it comes to names to African Americans, damn near all of us got an oral tradition of coming from some line of Native American ancestry.
And there's oral tradition coming from Africa. Yeah. So, I mean, if we're relying on oral tradition,
I'm not. First of all, I'm not one of them that denies the transatlantic slave trade. I'm not one of them that denies. That's stupid to me. You know, I'm not one of them. So
but is that not the argument being made here?
I know it's time to make it. What you say?
No, but so the argument here then, if you're arguing that Black Americans are indigenous, in a sense, you're trying to argue that, you know,
at least partially. At least partially.
But okay, so when you say partially,
so I'm going to, since you want to get down to the nitty gritty of it, Dwayne, since you keep pointing to that and you think that anecdotal evidence makes the marker here. First of all, you're not a Black American. You don't know our oral traditions. And yes, me and Trey just codified the fact that our family has passed that down, that we are, in fact, indigenous to America.
And that's the problem.
My grandmother, who astoundingly said that we are indigenous to the Americas, but
that's not really evidence. That's the answer.
It's not.
You understand what the anecdote is? That's the answer, though.
But just,
that's not primary source. What I'm talking
down to the primary source.
Okay, I asked for a slave narrative. Give me a slave narrative by someone who claims to be indigenous.
Dwayne. When it comes, Dwayne, it's our family. Like, when I say that.
But do you understand what primary source is, though? I'm not talking about family. I'm talking
about the primary source.
No, when I say that, my 67-year-old grandmother, she knew her grandmother, who was a full-blooded Native American. Her and all her brothers and sisters who are alive today knew their grandmother, who was a full-blooded Native American, who they said had hair down to her buttocks. That we don't sit around and say we need to know that's grandma. Who the fuck we trying to prove that to? Who the fuck are you to tell it? Me, it ain't my granny. Oh, nanny, she must have permed her hair. No, and I'm not trying to be hostile or nothing, but I'm saying, bro, like, I don't know how else to point that out to you, brother.
Yeah, but the point I'm making here is, when I'm talking about primary sources, I'm talking about the people who are actually enslaved. We're not talking about present day people. We're talking about people who are enslaved. Can you name?
Why would we be?
But this is a historical debate. We're talking the history now. We're not talking about present day.
I would definitely say that what I just said is firsthand evidence.
But that's not his
phone right now.
Was she enslaved?
Huh?
Well, was she enslaved?
My granny is 67 years old.
No, that's my point. But that's my point. So that's not relevant to this debate. If we're having a debate about history now.
Her granddaddy was born in 1880s, 1870s.
And that's still after slavery.
Dude, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm being very serious.
1870. What do you think would have happened in that 10 to 15 year period? What big jumble?
What are you talking about?
Fucked over.
What is that relevant?
So,
that's not relevant.
So what you, dude? Ben Butler was born in 1883.
Okay.
My granddaddy, who died in 08, who's tatted on my arm, that's his daddy. He just died in 08. His daddy was born in 1883. John T. Butler. His mama was a full-blooded native named Dulcie. I don't know. Well, ain't Ann? You sure she ain't have a perm? I mean, I don't know what else to say, brother.
But the thing is,
I got my whole line of elders.
But that's what we're talking about here. We're talking. He's referencing anecdotal evidence and oral traditions, whether it was written down or not. The fact that we have the anecdotal evidence from our ancestors, and you're trying to use the same thing to as doctrine. How is that really making your point here?
Well, see, you are making my point, because the thing is, you can't pinpoint to me evidence from people who were enslaved during that period who are arguing that they were already in America before slavery. Most slave narratives that you'll find are from people who either were from Africa or had grandparents from Africa.
That's literally inconsequential to all the vast majority of evidence that we have here anyway. On top of the fact that we know that there was a concerted effort to even remove a lot of black people in their documents as far as any erasure, as far as being indigenous here into the Americas. That was with William Plecker, as just for one reference there.
Because you don't have a historical argument to back up what you're doing.
Oh, I do have a historical argument, but you wanted to bypass it.
You're citing genetic studies, but you're genetic sources. You don't have the argument. I specifically asked you for a slave narrative. You haven't presented one yet.
That's so inconsequential.
But that's exactly the problem.
That's inconsequential. Evidence
you don't have is inconsequential to you, so you start bringing this DNA studies, and these DNA studies
are So that's just one. First of all, DNA studies are just one metric. I never rest my head on one metric.
But that's all you're doing. Bringing any primary sources.
I can do that as well. You don't have a single... This is the thing about you, Dwayne. You talk about primary sources all day. You don't have a single source of anything. You haven't posted anything. So what are you really using your argument for? What is your source?
Well, I wrote an article recently about my sources. So
your article ain't no damn source, boy. What are you talking about?
But you haven't read it. So, for example, I listed...
I read your argument. I read it.
So what's your current argument, then? That's what I'm waiting for.
Where's the citation? Post it.
You said you read it.
I read it, and I don't see citations.
Which article are you talking about? The last one?
I read your stuff on Medium.
Yeah, so you know what citations are you asking for? You read the argument. What's your counter-argument?
You're speaking from source, right? What source are you speaking from?
No, I'm asking you, what's your counter-argument?
My counter-argument is everything else that I've been posting. Matter of fact, I just posted something real quick. Bodhi, I'm about to look you up in a second. But so they've been making Moorish statues of us for... since they landed over here in 1600s, this is one of them. This is called the Cluster and the Emerald Moor. And if you read in part of it, that the Moor's tattoos and feather crown were taken from the contemporary illustrations of travel accounts that the figure is supposed to represent an American Indian. How fitting that American Indian would look so Negroid.
Yeah, so the issue I'm noticing here is you don't really seem to have a counter argument to anything that I've.
You don't have an argument at all, Dwayne. That's the point here.
No, but see, the thing is, you're the one who invited me to this debate because you want to debate what I wrote.
I'm hosting scholar.
Okay, but that's not relevant to what I wrote. I'm here because you want to debate what I wrote, and so far I'm not really hearing you raise any argument. You're asking me for citations. Again, you keep relying on these sources. What is your specific issue with my arguments? That's what I'm waiting for.
Dwayne, the entire thing was because you tried to pretend that black Americans were not indigenous to the Americas. That was the primary reason why I even responded to your first tweet.
Yeah, and I'm asking you, what about what I wrote in my articles are you raising a counterpoint to? You haven't done that yet. Because
the fact that you don't have any sources to back claim for an opposition.
That's not a counterargument. Telling me I don't have...
Let me say, I would like to argue that regardless of what the evidence I provided, hell, I would like to say that a lot of those dark-skinned images we see at the Yamasee, hell, I'm poised to say because there is genetic evidence of us being over here, hell, that was probably our ancestors to a degree. Yeah, I'll say that. You know what the Yamasee look like, don't you?
Yes, he does, I'm sure.
Could I make a recommendation? Because I wasn't sure... Did you guys get everything you wanted to say? Did Marak and Dwayne, did you guys get all the arguments that you laid out, like, uninterrupted? Or has that not happened yet?
I don't think that's happening here, because I realize, you know, there's really no debate being had here. I came here expecting a debate, and it turns out.
Right. So can we do that instead? Can we, like, we're debating whether Black Americans are indigenous to the United States, right? And so why don't you guys just...
He doesn't have a counter argument, Bodie.
Hold up. Just to organize it, right? It'll be easier to edit even, right? Why don't you... why doesn't Dwayne, since Dwayne hasn't really been speaking recently, why doesn't Dwayne, you know, lay out his argument uninterrupted for a few minutes, and then Marat can lay out his argument uninterrupted, and then you guys can go back and forth based off of the arguments that you made, right, and the evidence as you present it?
Yeah, see, but that's my issue, though, because I was invited to the space based on what I wrote, and so far the discussion really hasn't been relevant to any of the arguments I've raised in my articles or anything that I've written. Yeah. And
do you think you could just, like, not even summarize, just go through what you want to from your articles, like all that evidence? Because I'm not sure everyone has read your articles or knows what your arguments are.
So the main one with Van Sertima, the points that I raise is, and I mentioned this earlier in the discussion as well, that his a lot of his arguments are flawed because he's now relying on primary sources. So, for example, when he argued about the Egyptian contact in the Americas, and, you know, he claimed that the Egyptians sailed to Central America, he didn't have a timeline put in place because there was no historical evidence. So when he wrote they came before Columbus, he actually had to go back and change his historical timeline based on updated historical information. To me, that's not real scholarship. That's just guesswork. So he changed it from the 25th dynasty to the 19th dynasty because he didn't have a solid historical foundation. His second argument is Abu Bakari from Mali arrived in Central America as well. And it's the same problem. There is no primary historical document showing that he successfully traveled to the Americas. We do have historical documents saying that he did, you know, attempt to make a voyage across the ocean. He never came back home, so no one knows what became of him. But if you read They Came Before Columbus, Van Sertima is very vivid in terms of the details that he paints about Abu Bakari arriving in the Americas and all that. But the fact is, we don't know whether or not that happened. So the primary issue I've raised with Van Sertima is just it's very difficult to prove his conclusions because we don't have historical arguments or historical evidence to prove it. And the problem with Van Sertima's work is he uses terminology like beyond a shadow of a doubt. So he makes it seem like everything that he's writing is provable and factual information when a lot of it is, as I said, guesswork and conjure based on the lack of historical evidence. So that was the initial post that I made regarding Van Sertima. Now, regarding whether or not Black Americans are indigenous, that was a separate article. And the point that I made in that article is that when you look at primary sources, and by this I mean the writings and the documents from Black people who were enslaved during that particular time period, most of them point to coming from Africa. You don't find too many of them claiming to be indigenous. In fact, the Back to Africa movement was started by Thomas Peters. He's one of the early advocates of that movement, and he was one of the founders of Sierra Leone. He was from Africa. Another early founder of the Back to Africa movement was Paul Cuffy. Cuffy is a West African Akan name. Now, you look at the poetry of Phyllis Wheatley. She specifically wrote a poem about being from Africa. We have slave narratives from people like Alado Ekwano, who is from Africa, Omar Bid Said, also from Africa. So the point I'm making is when you look at these slave narratives, you don't find any slave narratives from people who were indigenous or claimed that they were indigenous to the Americas. Most of these people were people who were directly from Africa or had direct ancestors who from Africa. I wrote about Martin Delaney. Martin Delaney was the grandson of an African chief. So that's my argument regarding whether or not Black Americans are indigenous, that you don't have the primary documents where Black Americans themselves claim that they are indigenous. Most claimed that they were from Africa. And the final point that I'll make that really demonstrates this African connection are institutions that were named after Africa, such as the AMIE Church. That was, you know, the African Episcopal, African Methodist Episcopal Church. These are institutions that are named after Africa. So again, if these people are indigenous, why are they naming the institutions after Africa?
The very fact that Dwayne is speaking from absolutely nothing makes my entire point here. He's not speaking from source. I'm the one that's actually speaking from source. You just spewing anecdotal and inconsequential things has nothing to do with people who actually went out there. Let's be clear. Van Sertima spent decades researching the things that he's found on the people of America. And he cited plenty of sources. That's how, that's what happens. And that's what you do when you're a scholar in the field. And so Vance Hersema did the right thing. And yes, he did go back and he reworded and retorted some things because he had some things incorrect. As you should. You don't leave it for mystery or for it to be led to be incorrect. That's exactly what you should do. So the fact that you don't really have any primary sources to go against it is my very point.
And I would like to say
Vance Hersema didn't have primary sources either.
Hold on. Really quickly, the fact that Vance Hersema is being vetted and given credibility through people like Cheek Antediop, Asa Hillard, and even the head of the Smithsonian Institute, as well as Sage Encyclopedia, while your opposers are not.
But that's an appeal to authority fallacy. As someone engaged in a debate, you should know that's a fallacy.
Authority policy for Black people, for what reason?
What?
You just said an authority policy. For what reason?
It's a policy. It's an appeal to authority policy. It's not
these a are racist. Argument. And since when do they want to speak in favor for Black people?
That's not a counter argument. You have no real counter argument, man. You're wasting my time.
No. That's the projection that we are identifying here. You don't have a counter argument because you're not speaking from source.
I don't need a counter. You're the one who invited me for a debate. The whole issue
And the fact that we're debating here and you don't have source material, I don't even know why you're wasting your time.
Morat, can you give your positive argument? Dwayne gave his positive argument, right? He said, I don't believe it because of this, this, that, and that, and this, and that, right? Can you do that? Why do you believe that? Whatever you believe, could you just go through that?
I believe what I believe because I can name dozens of source material, whether that is through Harvard and CBI, genetics, the whole metrics, linguistics, measurements, cultural affinity as well, cowrie shells. Shell money being used not only in Africa, but also in the Americas, they found as well. A lot of base points in which has been identified. Trey has talked about the sickle cell association here, how the stockades and mounds over in the Americas were vastly similar to the ones over in Africa that I can post as well. The very fact that Leo Wiener was if for nothing else, he was a highly credited linguist who wrote 3 volumes of evidence to this and found vast amounts of place names that were Bantu and Arabic over here in pre-Columbian America. The very fact that they also had more cultural affinity to when we're talking about their burying practices. They had a thing called the mummy packs. And I'm going to read from what Leo Wiener wrote about these mummy packs. We have chiefly African plants, sweet potatoes, yams, manioc, in the mummy packs because of the food for the common people was chiefly due to Negro influence. And now what I'm about to do now is that I'm about to post these mummy packs. And you can make an assumption for yourself.
Okay. Dwayne, do you want to respond to that?
Not really. I'm still waiting for a counter-argument to any of the points that I raised before. I still haven't gotten
You don't
here.
Have points to even oppose. You're not speaking from a source. What is your point here if you're not speaking from anything? My point about mummy packs... The mummy packs here are showing that, yes, there you go. That's the original mummy pack. And you look inside of them, they found decomposing people of dark skin and afros.
Okay. So I wrote down what Dwayne said. So the issue about when the Egyptians had contact in the Americas and how Ivan Vance Hersema had to change his timeline, you both agree that he did. You just disagreed that if that had an implication as to whether he was doing guesswork or not, right? So you responded to that, Morat. And then he mentioned Abu Bakari. He says that there's no evidence that he actually arrived in the Americas and that you can't produce any documents on that.
Right. All we have is oral history from the West Africans.
Okay, and so you're saying that that's good enough. Okay, and then he says that people like Phyllis Wheatley or Omar bin Said, they talk about how they – Omar bin Said knows exactly where he came from in Africa, right? And so he's saying that the slave narratives consistently have people saying that they're African. And you don't see the slave narrative saying, hey, we're indigenous, we're aboriginal. And so that's the question that he's posing.
Well, I already countered that argument because there was a – why would they give credence to us in the original point of us being indigenous to Americas, especially when you had people who were already astoundingly very much – putting it out there that they did not want that information out there, which is why they went and reclassified and completely destroyed many documents that would codify that his name is William Plucker. So I've already answered that as well.
He keeps talking about these slave narratives as if we're classifying ourselves and haven't been classified back and forth. Rachel Vinney sued in 1791, for example, Montgomery County on December 23rd. Rachel filed for her freedom. The evidence showed that her ancestor, Mary, who had come into Eastern Virginia by ship with her granddaughter, they were identified and classified as Indians, not Africans. But no Indian tribe was also mentioned. In short, she had lost her case and was thrown into slavery and reclassified as Negro. So I just don't understand what we're really going
to do. So what about this. Institutions like the AAME church that he mentioned? Do you think that they are rightly named after Africans or wrongly named after Africans?
Who?
Like the AAME, the, I forget what it's called, the African Episcopal whatever church, that thing, AAME. Are you not familiar with it?
No.
It's a super old church.
You talking about AME?
Yeah, that one.
AME? Yeah, that's my daddy's people. Yeah, that's my daddy's people.
To one of those. So, yeah, how would you respond to that?
Who?
No, like, do you think – so those churches exist, right? They're very old, where Black Americans name their churches as African. So he's asking, why would they do that unless they believe they were African?
So the thing is that the first Africans that came over here, right, they came over here in 1619. And so the ones that were here, yeah, they knew they were from Africa and they were here with other Black people that were already indigenous to America. Now, we were in a position where we are not allowed to continue our cultural customs or anything of that nature. So the ones that are born after and the ones that are born after and the more Africans that are coming in, why would there be much documentation of people who are going around saying that they would be anything else but?
And furthermore, I already made it clear that Leo Weiner and Harvard University already pointed out the evidence that there was vast amounts of Bantu languages over here in America.
So anyway. Did you hear that, Dwayne? So I don't know how that's there were really Africans who came over here due to the transatlantic slave trade, but there was another group of Black people who predates them, and that was the goal, sounds like, of white supremacists or Europeans in America to conflate the two.
I'm just saying as well, like if I'm born in America, if I'm a slave over here in Africa, and then my descendant is obviously a descendant of me, and we're not able to produce our cultural customs and whatever and what have you for generations on end, why would we be in a position to be talking about our indigenous status or cultural customs in continuation at that particular point? That's logic. Go ahead, Dwayne.
I don't have anything else to say to that. I mean, I already raised the point that if the argument is Black people are indigenous to America, then there should be a lot of documents with Black people claiming to be indigenous, because what I'm hearing is that the argument is the majority of Black people in America were already in America before slavery, yet no one has been able to present a single slave narrative of someone who was indigenous. No one was able to present an actual institution connecting Black people to being indigenous to America. All I'm hearing is that it's a conspiracy by white people to cover up the fact that Black people were indigenous.
I didn't say it was a conspiracy. I'm just saying, why would they? Number one, and the very fact that you rest all of your entire argument on that particular thing, I think you is pretty clear and cut here that you don't really have argument here.
But that is the argument. The argument is that Black people who were enslaved themselves identify.
I already told you we've had a long-standing oral tradition, and you can't even codify
that. It's not even a long-standing oral tradition. But here's the thing. The oral tradition that I'm hearing went back to grandparents. That's not even very long standing. I'm talking about the period before that. I'm talking about going back to the 1800s, 1700s. That's the period I'm talking about. I'm not talking about going back.
First of all, let's bring into logic that we were completely illiterate. All right? We were not documenting. So why would we be documenting that we would be...
I just named slave narratives that were documented. It's a fallacy to say that all black people in America...
And again, a lot of them were continuing to be brought over to America, and then generationally, they would have descendants that were literally African. So why would some of them even go into this particular topic?
But if the majority were indigenous, then shouldn't there be more indigenous descendants than the African descendants?
That's after contamination and after being forced bred with these people that were coming in from Africa as well, on top of the fact that there was already African presence here in the Americas anyway. So it wasn't just the transatlantic slave trade. Again, we're talking about the great possibilities of Egyptians already being over here, and the Moors were over here, and that's exactly why he was able to translate for Columbus, or whoever you want to place name as far as that commodity that they had over here. Arabic and Bantu, again, was already found over here. The fact that the bottle gourd traveled from Africa to Asia into the Americas.
Are you arguing that the Moors were in North America?
They found that the Moors were... Well, the Algonquian language does have Moorish influence in it. I can post that as well.
Columbus never... It sounds like you're conflating things now. Columbus never sailed to North America.
I never said anything about Columbus sailing to North
America. But you said Columbus used Moors to translate. What was he translating?
Hold on.
So, Dwayne, what about the question about indigeneity, right? So how are you defining indigenous? Because all throughout the Americas, enslaved people are actually considered indigenous to some extent because they're not a part of the settler colonial...
My bad. Space. Go ahead.
Dwayne?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So, like, yeah. So
what I'm saying, indigenous in this context would be black people who are already in the Americas before the slave trade. And what I'm arguing is that if there were, and I did say at the beginning, I'm not denying that there could have been black people who were here already, but what I'm saying is, if there were such a large number of black people who are already indigenous, that should be more apparent in the historical records.
So again, back to my point about Columbus and the Moors. Yes, I don't want to confuse the audience. Columbus didn't set land into North America specifically. It was to the islands. And to that very point, too, we're talking about archaeology. They found that there was, they found black people that dated back to the 1200s AD that were already here as well. And that was through the Smithsonian Institute and Oxford University. But as far as the Moors themselves, yes, the Moors were already here in the Americas, and they were translating for Columbus and whoever else was documenting as well.
Do you have a source for that? Because Columbus never said anything about that in his journal.
Never said anything about what?
Using Moors for translations. That's not...
No, he didn't say that, but who else was translating?
Oh, okay. So you don't have a source. Got it.
Yeah, because I need logic, right? Because the very fact that the Moors were exiled the same year that Columbus came over, which means that they were using Moors and their intellect and their boats to come over through the Americas, because the Moors had already been trading and translating over here with the indigenous people. So yes, that makes the most sense than some white people who just by chance the same year decided to come over here and already know what the natives were already talking
here's
about.
The thing, and I could tell you haven't read Columbus's journal. Columbus actually didn't know what the natives were saying. There was a language...
I know he did not. He did.
But you said the Moors translated. There was no translation going on. Columbus didn't know what the natives were telling him. He didn't have translators.
Yes, like I said, you want to go by, I don't know what, but
like
I'm going by
the journal. That's something you need to read. You
I'm
need
going
to read
by primary
sources
scholar that I can post right now.
And I'm going
then
by Columbus. I can post the journal. I could
then
show
post
you.
It.
Okay.
But yes, somebody would have had to have translated, like I said, and it definitely wasn't those Spaniards that traveled to the Americas for the first time the same year they got exiled with the Moors. So it makes no sense. As far as any other argument, Dwayne really doesn't have an argument here, as I've established. I'm talking about every single metric here. He, on the other hand, cannot speak to every other metric. Matter of fact, I'm about to bring up another cultural affinity here, people, and I'll post that as well. They're going to be talking about the liquor. In Bantu countries of Africa, there is a made liquor known as Pombe. A description of the preparation of Pombe was given by Joao dos Santos in 605. The wine usually drunk by the Kafirs is made of millet and is called Pombe. That the same Negro Pomberos were active in America is shown by a large number of documents. The Spanish did not develop the word Pombe, but stuck closer to the Latin pulpa as a base of a word for native liquor, hence pulperia. A shop was in the Indies called Pulperia, and they were essentially drinking Bantu liquor. That Bantu liquor, not coincidentally, goes right back to the Egyptians because they drank millet beer, in which they also referenced.
Do I end up with a response?
No, I think I'm good here.
Okay, yeah. Do you guys want to give out closing statements? You know, just summarize what's been said and what's happened so far.
I'm going to probably close with more source and evidence in which Dwayne does not have. Speaking on cotton, so far we have only established the absence of all criteria chronology of Peruvian cotton, and now we shall, by the linguistic criteria, show that if cotton was present before Columbus and must have been introduced in Peru directly or indirectly by Mandingo Negroes. In 1532, the Indians were compelled to plant in those in which they had to render as a tribute, and over this, the Calpwix, in which basically means the head of the state of the particular people, it was found that the Calpwix were chiefly Negroes, who immediately after the conquest treated the Indians with great severity.
And it comes down to the fact that opposing this leaves the audience to believe that there was either a needed reliance on the white man to bring us over to America from Africa on that current, and we couldn't possibly do it on our own, speaks to the inferiority of these Pan-Africans. It's either that or we populated the entire planet before morphological change, which is true, or we stopped in the middle of the Sahara Desert and never migrated past that point because of a magical the Negro barrier, which is laughable.
I have sources on sources. Oh, and I think, did Dwayne leave? This is the thing.
Powerful closing statement. Powerful
closing statement. I have sources on sources, and I just don't think he has it. That's my closing statement. Closing statement is that Marok has sources and Dwayne does not.
Find full episodes of the podcast featuring Straight Facts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, check out our Instagram for more Marok Oris content, including the shop and our subscription service for exclusives. Peace, Mer.